from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
Believe it or not, dear listener, this is our 199th episode. And we've absolutely raced to this huge number over nearly 8 years. So we haven't exactly been sprinting with it, but we are, it's a huge achievement, and it'll be an even bigger one in our next episode. So you have to stay tuned today, and you have to stay tuned for the next one to celebrate our 200th. Anyway, they're the parish council notices out the way, and it's on to this week's episode, which is all about Nigel's Digital Days session this week. The Digital Days, for those of you who don't know what they are, they are basically a couple of days in the last week or so where the organisers of Learning Technologies conference and exhibition in London had put on an extra couple of events so you could sign up and hear some people speak, and Nigel was one of them. And before we came on air, he was describing some of the things he's talking about, and I thought they sounded very interesting. So Nigel, I just wanted to hand the microphone to you and for you to share some of the highlights from what you were talking about.
Thank you, Martin, I will. And just reflecting on 8 years, you know, 8 years ago, Martin, you and I both had shoulder length hair. We were young, vibrant, full of life.
Yeah.
You know, what happened to us? That's what I want to know. What happened to us?
Well, aside from the hair, everything remains the same. Thanks, Nigel. Surely you feel the same.
I do. I feel like a spring. I feel like a spring chicken.
Right. The reflections have to stop there. We can do all that in the 200th episode.
Fine. Okay. I have become more and more aware of a massive disjunction between the direction of many organizations and what they're being offered by their learning and development operation. And I think that that sprung to life when I read that article on TikTok, who fired their entire talent team, not because they were bad or because they were doing a bad job, but what they weren't doing was engaging profoundly with the needs of the organization. And they were doing nice stuff, good to have, but not key essential stuff. And that got me thinking. And those thoughts kind of emerged in this presentation I did yesterday. And I suppose I have maybe four conclusions that I think are important, but I suppose I would think they're important. The first one is that L&D isn't brave enough. I think it has to go into places that are uncomfortable. It has to take staff into places that are uncomfortable. If you want change, you have to put up with psychologically safe, but nevertheless, discomfort and discomforting experiences. That's how people learn. That's how people see that they have to change and the world has to change. And I kind of echoed the words of, you know, Etienne Wenger, Etienne Wenger trainer, as he calls himself now, not T-R-A-I-N-E-R, Martin, but T-R-A-Y-N-E-R. He married a Ms. Trainer. So Etienne Wenger trainer, because what Etienne says, which I still think is profound, he wrote it in his original book on communities of practice, and that is that learning is a mutual engagement around uncertainty, not the transmission of certainty. And I think far too much learning and development is about transmitting certainty and simplifying the world till you can be certain and limiting the world till you can be certain. And I just think that that is not what is required. I think we're moving into areas of unprecedented disruption, unprecedented uncertainty, and we have to equip all staff, not just leaders, but all staff, to recognize that we're walking on thin ice all the time and not just say, it's okay, just do these two courses and you'll be completely fine over the next 20 years. And we know the minute you say that, that that's completely untrue. And, you know, I come back to my doctoral research where it seems so clear to me that unlike so many professions, we don't do our field work. We don't get out there and find out what's actually going on in organizations. We hide and we take instruction and we believe people and they say, oh, there's a problem here and this is what they need. Whereas what you should be saying is, that's your view. Okay, can I just explore that with you? And then can I go and explore it with those people? So we need more field work. And I think we need to see ourselves as practitioners who are evolving and evolving practice more and more, and not people who are quite happy to outsource all the decisions around their practice to a supplier. I think we should have a much tighter control of what suppliers offer and what they don't offer than in many organizations. And then that leads me, Martin, to the main point that I was trying to get over is that there is a world where we can focus on individual learning, but there's another world where we focus on organizational learning. And I'm not saying that we abandon individual learning. I say we accelerate organizational learning, because in organizational learning, that is when organizations are resilient and empowered and can manage change. And if we don't, we just focus on building up individuals. We're almost encouraging them to carry on and leave, go find somewhere else that will treat you better or pay you more or whatever it might be. Whereas when an organization learns, it doesn't matter if one person goes, because the organization is resilient. The knowledge is in the organization, in the spaces between people, not actually within the individuals. And, you know, I go back to the research that I did, you know, in the 90s, this huge emphasis on organizational learning, which has just disappeared. And I picked up on a quote from Mary Crossan, who said that organizational learning can be conceived as a principal means of achieving strategic renewal of an enterprise, a principal means of achieving its strategic renewal. That's what we're involved in. And she is right, you know, I think essentially. She's saying there is an individual dimension, there's a group and team dimension, and then there's an organizational dimension. And we've got to focus on all three. And then I kind of finished by saying that we need ecosystems, but we should not associate ecosystems just as technology. You don't buy an LXP and say, we've got our learning ecosystem, thanks very much. Because an ecosystem is not just technology, it's about people, it's about content, it's about data, it's about governance, you know, its role in the organization and its status in the organization. So that was it, really. The challenge is to the three R's: reframe, rebuild, and redefine. And I think we've got a great opportunity to do that now, because the organizations need a different approach. They need to think bigger and help embed that transformation through people, not just through banging in technology or issuing new procedures. And I think L&D they're really the only people who can empower and enable that. So I'm very optimistic about the potential in the future, but I'm slightly anxious that a lot of what I say falls on deaf ears, and people are still trying to craft and manipulate beautiful bits of content without really thinking very hard about whether it's the right content in the right place for the right people at the right time. And they're all equally as important considerations. So that's it, Martin. That was in a few minutes. That was what I was doing.
Wow.
Talking about.
An excellent piece of condensing, Nigel. I know that would have been a much longer talk, but I thought that the headlines are in all of that are really thought-provoking, very interesting. I think it feels like that now is the time for embracing kind of the fundamental shifts that are coming with all this uncertainty that you describe, and the very fact that the way we are working for a lot of people has changed in the last 2 years, and it's not going back to what it was. It's maybe less clear in some organisation what that's going to look like in the future, but all that is uncertain. So that actually that idea of stepping into that having a much more kind of organizational view and ambition of what learning can do to transform, I think is exciting. It's a huge step up as well. So lots to think about in there.
Lots to think about. I agree. Thank you, Martin. Mm. Yeah. I think that we need to talk, not just me, but everyone needs to talk more about this, about what the fundamental purpose of R&D is.
Yeah.
And it's a good time to challenge and explore.
Great. Thanks, Nigel. And I'll be growing my hair nice and long for the next episode.
Excellent. Me too.
200th. Right. We shall speak to you soon.
Indeed. Thanks very much, Martin.
From scratch.